You're listening to Up Your Game, a weekly show designed to turn dreams into goals and goals into reality. Here's your host, entrepreneur and content creator, De Niro B.
What's going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Now, before we dive into the content and we're going to start dropping some value bombs, wanted to ask you to please subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't done that already, it helps me and it helps you stay on top of all the new episodes that we release every single week. Also, if you haven't, please share this podcast with your friends. It's important because if you're on the rise, you want your friends to be on the same page as you are. You don't want them to slow you down, but most importantly, you want to help your circle grow with you. All right, so let's get started.
What is going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Today, I am here with Travis Huff, the creator and host of the Be Real Show, an amazing podcast where he interviews entrepreneurs, content creators, business owners, and social media experts, and gives you a ton of value that you can use to start and scale your own business. Now, Travis went from working in a conventional marketing setting with big brands like McDonald's to opening a successful and probably one of the first ones, I think, social media management firms in 2009. He also is the board member of the Fresno Advertising Federation. I am really looking forward to this interview. Travis, how are you doing today, brother?
What's good, my man? What's good? Thank you so much for the opening intro, man. I'm like pumped up. Let's do this, my man. I'm ready to up my game for sure. I'm ready to, you know, make it give your listeners some fuego, tell them a little bit about my story and life. And, you know, at the end of the day, you wake up every single day. We just lost Kobe Bryant, you know? And so you wake up every single day and you just feel grateful for every day, you know? And so
100%.
The it's biggest thing weird, I could, man. Yes. Yes. Talk about someone that ups his game all the time. Shout out to Kobe and his love, shout his out. Lovely shout daughter out. And energy, and also all the people on the plane right now, you know, on the helicopter, unfortunately, but truly, honestly, De Niro, you know, it's just, honestly, it's one of those things you have to up your game every day and even through tragedy, you know? And so when I started my business in 2009, man, I mean, the tragedy truly was the recession, you know? Yeah, and so when I started my business, it was like, dude, I'm starting my business in a recession. Yet on the other side, it was the opportune time. Because I tell everyone, folks, truly, your best ideas happen when you're just listening. So I'm sitting at a Starbucks. I've been working at ABC Television, working for the Disney Company. Great company. Wonderful job. Wonderful first job out of college. The Disney Company is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the business was changing from 2005 to 2009. Hulu, Netflix, all these things. They're putting content online. The numbers were changing. Things were changing in the business. I could kind of see it. But I'm sitting down November 2008 with a buddy, my really good buddy, Jason. I always give him a shout out because he gave me this idea that, hey, people are going to need their business pages managed, their Facebook pages. Local businesses are going to need their Facebook pages managed. And folks, I put a PowerPoint together. I do what's called bootstrapping in every business idea I ever have now for the future because I started in a recession. So you're really scrappy then. And you just go and get your first check. That's the bottom line, folks. Any idea, if you want to make it happen, if you want to get success, you got to get your first check. Don't go get some other shit. Don't go get a fancier PowerPoint or logo before you get a check, you know? And so, and then you can reinvest it, right? You know, so it's just, my story is there's a lot of challenges I've experienced, my man. And I've had to up my game at least three times in my life.
You know, the cool thing about starting a business in a recession, man, is that if you're able to start a business in the recession where the business picks up, when the economy picks up, then you're laughing because you've been through the hard times when you didn't even have money to invest. Now that you have money to invest, you got the cash flow, you got the clout because people know who you are.
Right.
And then there's money there's money to be spent around, and these businesses are looking for more people that know what they're doing. You can almost use that as a selling point, man. You know, like I started my business in a recession. Guess what I can do with your business? Just imagine what I can do with your business now that there's no recession going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you learn a lot along the journey because this is a tough business. Social media management is not an easy business. There's a lot of burnout that happens with your team. They get burned out on clients after doing it for 10 years with the same customer. They can get burned out. So you got to figure out ways to keep things spiced up. You got to strategize. The algorithms are changing. all sorts of shit's happening in this business. And so it's still a great business, just like any service-based business, but it's not necessarily what I would have loved to start at that point. I would have rather gotten to a software that manages social media management, because obviously I could be Hootsuite or Sprout Social bigger. But hey, you know what, folks? You take your blessings along the way. Social media management is still a very great business. It's still one of the best businesses because you can use your mind. There's not a lot of money. You open up a computer and you manage people's social media. It's not like one of those things you have to buy a bunch of stuff to do. So in any business out there that you can learn something about and be an expert in and just teach people or do it for them, email marketing, you know, now we're getting into reputation with the little software that we worked on and partnered up. So we're helping businesses collect positive reviews, you know? And so, but it's more automated for the business. It's a little more automated for us too, to be transparent with you, my man, is you know, because the social media, it can't be done by robots. This thing has to be done by humans, right? I mean, it's like, there's some things you can do just to beat this, to beat the algorithms, because I'll give you some strategies, folks, along the way here, but it's still human to human. It can't be done by robots or chatbots or anything at this point. Like, I haven't seen it successfully done. It's human to human. It's organic. Even posting through Hootsuite or any of these other platforms, the Instagram or the Facebook sniff that out, and it's different. They'll give you less reach than if you just organically post through their platforms. There's one right there. Just organically scheduling will get you more reach than scheduling through Hootsuite. And I love Hootsuite. I freaking love the platform. I love tools. But the algorithms are smart, man. As you know, the algorithms, they're very smart. And they sniff out when you're posting too efficiently and too many times. And they're going to not give you as much organic reach as if you were to stay inside the platform, schedule in there, you know, schedule once a day instead of pushing, like, you know, some of these tools you see now with the social surveys and some of these review softwares, like the second they get a review, it pushes out to social, but then like they're pushing out tons of linked posts to Facebook. And then all of a sudden, like, they're not going to get a lot of reach on their page because the more times that people are posting and you're not engaging, the less time your next fan is going to see you. So if you're using these tools, yes, it's cool to automate certain things, folks. Let's just be real. It's cool. It's freaking easy. It's cool. It's awesome to have some automation, but don't forget that the platforms themselves are very freaking smart.
100%. I know enough about that too, because like, I mean, like, for my business as well, we automate a lot of the stuff that we do, but
of course,
as you've said, like, there are certain things that you want to think about scaling, but also making sure that the quality of the content that you're putting out there for your clients is still getting that reach, right? Yeah. Listen, I generally ask all my guests to tell me how they got started, but I looked at your resume, basically. I mean, like, your website and your bio. You've done a lot of far, and it's on fire. So can you give us a quick snapshot of what you've done since you started out? Like, so you said you worked.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing was I got my first check, you know. The second thing was I went back and thought, well, how am I going to actually scale this business beyond physical local businesses? And so how that was going to be, folks, is through our white label service. And that means where we actually are doing the service for another agency. They're taking the commission. They're put all the logos and reporting and stuff comes under their logos and brand. We become part of their team. It's not for every agency, but a lot of them have found ways to scale with us, you know, and make reoccurring revenue, not having to hire the staffs internally. They don't have to do a lot of work. You know, it's basically like they turn over good ideas that they have, and then they also just pass on the reports to the customer. So it's not like a lot of work as far as their point of view. And it's kind of a no risk situation in that they don't have to hire a staff. And then if something happens in the business and they lose the account, they have to fire the staff, you know, which happens a lot in advertising agencies, as I learned. They'll get a big account, they'll hire up and they'll staff up. They lose the account 3 years later because it goes to a different agency. Boom, they fire 30 people, you know. And so then you have a different type of business, you know. And so that happens a lot. So with us, they like to scale only because there's no risk. If they lose the account, what are we going to do? I mean, we move on to the next one, you know. And so that's how we kind of really, honestly, folks, really benefit the most from the internet, as well as not having to hire a huge sales team. In fact, we don't have a sales team. We have our partners, all of the different agency brands that we work with. we don't even tell people, obviously, we work with them. They don't even want people to know that we work with them. We work with them, and the checks are coming in from their agency. There is some downside to that, folks, because when you're working with agencies, they pay a little later than other businesses. So there's some little inefficiencies or things we've had to learn along the way, especially with ads, you know. But hey, you know what? You learn and you just keep growing. And at the end of the day, it's a blessing. Like I said, like I told you, it's not always the business you wanted to create some days, because I've had to work, folks, every single day, every day. Like yesterday was actually one of my first days I didn't work as much in 10 years. Like, it was crazy. yesterday was crazily, I had a bunch of stuff going on. And finally, by the end of the day, after my daughter had a few, she was just not going to sleep as usual. And then we were just so tired. And I finally just said, I'm not opening this laptop. I'm going to freaking just let the thing chill and work tomorrow. You know what I mean? And so, but I've been doing that every day for 10 years, every single day. You have to wake up. Now I have a team, but you still have to work. Now every day, folks, I'm not working 8 hours. Some days I might be working 8 hours. Some days I might be working a 1 hour, but still you have to work. It's not a business that just means I'm going to just work and make all this money and then forget it, you know? And so that's the one thing I always want to tell people, is just don't think you're going to be an entrepreneur to work less, you know, but you do control your time. You do control your time. And folks, you can grow and build a bigger business outside than you can being an employee. Even sales. Because the second you start making lots of money in sales, you know what they'll do?
They'll give you more account. They'll raise your quota. What are they going to do?
They'll raise your game. So it's harder for you to make your, it's harder for you to make, you know.
I've been there, done that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, then the commissions that you were making last year, it's going to be harder to get this year because the bonus structure is and then they just changed the bonus structure. So now instead of 25%, you're getting nothing. That happened during the recession to a lot of businesses, you know, and sales, because they had to find ways to cut things. Oh, we're giving all these crazy bonuses out because times are good. Times are great. Boom. You know? And so, And so you have to learn from that, folks. I mean, there's no right way to start a business. I say, get a PowerPoint, start a business. Tell your story, tell your idea. Same thing with the podcast. Like you, my man, you start a podcast. You stay consistent. My man is 250 episodes in. I have no doubt you will be at 10,000 episodes one day.
Yeah, 100%.
Keep pushing. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of, you will build the catalog. You're already doing it, you know? And so some people give up, the average podcaster gives up before 10 episodes.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? 10.
Yeah.
They say power of seven. It's like in anything, if you can get over 7 pieces of content, then you're going to make it. But a lot of times people give up in that first 7. They don't see the numbers. They don't see the excitement and passion to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And they get sold on some other new course to make money doing something else for 99 cents. They bought this course, or for $100, they bought this course. It's going to teach them another skill. And so they get distracted. You know, I think people are,
that's what it is. 100%.
So stay focused, folks, stay focused. I always tell everybody, you can do any dream you want 1 hour per week. Learn Italian. If I wanted to learn Italian, if you wanted to learn social media, if you wanted to learn whatever, 1 hour, spend an hour, see if you can do that consistently for 1 year. Then do 2 hours a week. You know, don't go fucking all in and then all out, because that's what happened all the time, right? You see it all the time. That's why you have a show of 250 and the other people have a show of 10.
100%. You know what? A lot of people I hear on my page on Instagram too, they ask me, I have no money to get started. And I'm like, so if you don't have money, I was like, let me ask you, if you don't have money, that means you probably don't even have a crazy job that's taking you away, from, it's like, yeah. I was like, okay, so you have free time. Free time is money. Free time is money. Get out there, put your content out there, knock on doors, make cold call. I mean, you probably have a cell phone. You're texting me right now, telling me you got no money.
Boom.
Text someone else and tell them, hey, you need help. Start from scratch. Free time is money. Listen,
that's your most precious asset. That's your most freaking precious asset.
All the time, even when you got money, free time is your most precious asset anyway.
It's your most precious asset.
Listen, you got a podcast for a very long time, and as a podcaster myself, there are some aspects of podcasting that I really love. So I wanted to know, what drove you to start your own podcast, and are those reasons still driving you today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they have changed. I will say the podcast has maybe changed over time. When I first started, folks, it was the idea that I could interview my heroes in social media and marketing, the people that I admired when I was growing up, and I'd see these stories. Shit, I watched The Celebrity Apprentice with freaking Trump. And it wasn't Trump that I always liked his personality because he'd be like, get fired, this and that. But besides that part, it was Jeffrey Hazlett, which was the at the time the chief marketing officer of Kodak, right? Yeah. And then it turned into like where I have had him on the show a few times. And it was really one of those validating points to say, I want to get this dude that has a book. Usually, obviously, as you probably know, when they have a book or they have something like that, they're more likely to do your show, folks. So it was one of these things. People aren't going to want to hear me talk the whole time because I need to learn to listen better because I like to talk. As we know here, I'm already speaking a lot. So as we know, I like to talk. So, but the show, actually, I have to listen more, right? So I'm going to become a better listener. But lastly, was truly, folks, this is a show. This is a fun thing to do. This is something you can bring your heroes on a show. And I was just going out on Twitter and just reaching out to these people when they'd have a book or when I'd see them on another interview, I'd go reach out to them. You know, when that my boy Tom Billy was coming up, when he was the CEO at Quest Nutrition, but then he had his own show that was like Quest. I don't know exactly. I don't want to say the show wrong, but he was doing kind of what Impact Theory is within Quest.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And then I saw shows and I was like, dude, I got to get Tom Billy on my show. Reached out to Tom a few times. Boom. It was like under 100 episode. And me and Tom, to be transparent, we had a few toes. It was like, I dropped the call a few times and it was embarrassing, but he kept coming back on and he was like so cool and humble about it. And one of the coolest, nicest guys that's really making an impact in this world. If you check his content out, see his stuff he's doing and see how he's up in his game everywhere, you know.
He's doing a health one too now that I'm really, really in love with too. Yeah.
Yes. He's going to go on more volts. He's going to go in so many different verticals, man. But the point is, folks, anyone can create a show. It's the best way to get business. It's a validating thing for you on your website to see that you have a show. Other customers that are potentially your prospects come to your website. They say, oh, shoot, you have a podcast? I've heard that guest. I've read this guy's book. You've interviewed them? Holy shit. And people are like saying that quite often now, more and more, as you build a catalog, you know, like as it becomes interested to them, I'd be like, oh, shit, I already interviewed this guy's hero. Let's talk about it. Talk about the things I've learned from this guy and internally. Give this guy a few tidbits from what I learned. But the point is, at the end of the day, folks, none of these people would ever come to Fresno, California to talk to me. So when I realized 5 years ago, if I created a show, I could be like Jimmy Fallon. I could be like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel. I could be like Conan. And honestly, it's evolved. You know, I think, as you know, it evolves. Like the more you record, you get maybe better. You learn how to talk to guests. I've created different types of show. Like over time, I change out certain elements and add new ones. But it's been fun, man. I mean, now, honestly, the thing, how has it changed, my man, is I'm having people book their guests on. So they're not necessarily my heroes. They're not necessarily people that I mentor. But I learn a lot from these people. And the reason why I started doing that is, honestly, it helped me build a catalog because I'd bring all these different guests on, right? Like people are reaching out and saying, hey, my man, I want to get you this guest on, you know, the show. And at first I was like, you know what? I have no idea who these people are. Why do I want them on my show? You know, like at first I was like, kind of like thinking that way. Right. But then the second approach was, you know what? Like I started saying yes. And I started learning a lot from these people, like more than just social media. So that's how my show turned into entrepreneurship, was I could start interviewing people that are cybersecurity experts and people that are writing books and people that are getting their own podcast agencies and just everything in between. It wasn't only now just social media. And so I was saying that was one of my biggest blessings, is just now accepting yes, if I thought it was a good fit, even if it didn't make sense, or I was like, I don't really know how this would fit. I was like, shit, let's do it, because I'd learned so much from these people. And pull little things out from them that maybe they weren't expecting because I'm not in their industry, you know? And so I'm giving them shit, good ideas for social and things like that because I'm not even in their industry and I'm thinking outside the box, you know? So it's been fun, man. But every day you have to wake up, like anything you do, and say, today's Friday. I always say, in my mind, I always say, today's Friday. I'm doing the funnest shit I ever wanted to do. I'm semi-retired, even though I have to work every day. I get to do whatever I want to do. I got my daughter on the camera right here. I'm about to see her. She's going to go with a sitter, but I'm going to be able to hold her. And I spent time with her this morning, grocery shopping, being a true dad, you know? And yes. I get to create that life. And that's what entrepreneurship really offers, you know? Yeah. The thing is, I think that there's three different types of entrepreneurs. There's the one that's lifestyle, like myself, that enjoys mm-hmm. the lifestyle. There's the people that want to build a huge business, want to have millions of factories, want to have everything, want to be the Elon Musk, the Jeff Bezos. They just have that drive. They're willing to sacrifice their family, their life, everything. You know what I mean? Because you can't be Elon and be with your kids all day. Like, it's just not going to happen. You can't be anything in those positions. And then lastly is the one that just builds a business over a cause, you know, and they don't really see the money, but they want to help people get fresh water, or they want to help people build a food bank. And I love that there's three different ones that I identify with. I'm sure there's more, but I think the biggest thing to know, my man, is to know which one you are.
Yeah.
And I learned that early on, because when people still ask me, you don't have a big office where all your people come? No. We've built our business like WordPress. We let our team members work from wherever. That's just our model. It works better. They work when they want. Some people wake up at 4:45 in the morning and are working. Some people are pushing stuff out to us at 11 o'clock at night. If I had to hold the keys to an office, that shit would drive me nuts. So just remember, the business models change, right, my man? And so you can embrace the type of entrepreneur you are. If I told myself I'm going to be Mark Zuckerberg, well, then I have to have that business. I have to probably get some funders. I probably have to get some investors. And so I created a more of a lifestyle entrepreneurship where I can control that. But then over time, you build, you invest, you know, things grow for yourself, you know? And so no one's wrong. If you want to be a big business, just know that. You're going to make commitments to not be around your family. You're going to have an office. You might deal with sexual harassment issues because, you know, got 50 people on there. And next thing you know. And lastly, the worst thing, my man, is you might get a corrupt person inside writing checks to someone else, which I've seen a few times in my journey, and not just in my personal one, but experiencing it from friends, even my own friends in this business that scaled up too fast and then got effed straight up. Like, where they woke up one day and said, oh, there's no money in the bank. Oh, what happened? Oh, this person's been wiring checks for the last.
Mark Cuban had that problem. I remember I read in his book.
Yes. Same thing. Yes, it happened. I mean, I always say this, two things you got to focus on: time, where you're spending your time, right? You identified it. If you have no money, spend time. You got time. If you're not making money, you got time, folks. You got time not spending on Netflix, YouTube, any of this shit. If you have money, then you can spend time doing that. But it's just those two things, time and money. The thing about money, my dad always taught me, never spend more than you make.
This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Planner at phoenixplanner.com. I've been using the Phoenix Planner for 3 months now, and as soon as I started using it, I dropped every other productivity tool I was using. The Phoenix Planner lets me set my 3 to 5 year goal, then it breaks that down into a yearly one. Now, once the big picture is complete, it makes you set 4 quarterly goals, and that's when the real planning starts. Phoenix Planner allows you to schedule weekly, daily, and monthly tasks. It has a monitoring system for tracking your habits, and it works as a journal too. On the daily pages, you can write down your focus and what you're grateful for. Now, remember that gratitude is the key to keeping yourself grounded and in control every day. There are also slots for rating your performance and giving yourself feedback. In a nutshell, the Phoenix Planner is the ultimate planner if you want to take your life and business to the next level. Visit phoenixplanner.com to get 20% off your order. Apply the code PHOENIXDEN at checkout. That is PHOENIXDEN for 20% off your order. And now, let's get back to the episode.
It's a real simple strategy. And now it's hard to practice, because even if you make $1 million, people up their lifestyle. And you see it all the time. The dude now is driving a Ferrari. Well, hey, folks, if the cash doesn't keep coming in at that milli, what ends up happening is, woohoo, choo, 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 the train down. Evander Holyfield, one of my heroes, $250 million, bro. Blown. in the 90s money, dude. Not 2020 money. He was making that money at $20 million a fight in the 90s. Can you imagine if he invested half of it in like Google, had been buying IPOs, Google, Amazon IPOs? He'd be like, he'd have $20 billion. So the truth is, you can't invest all your money, but folks, invest some of your money along the way. Put it in companies, you know, if the, especially you believe in.
Yeah, 100%. I was reading your social media marketing firm, how it started.
Yes,
I read, and it seems you were saying before, you basically were able to turn a sudden opportunity that your friend was telling you into a long-lasting and solid business. So were you always that driven and organized, or if you weren't, what changed that made you so focused and saying, you know, I'm picking this up and I'm running with it?
Well, I always was a business owner. I always had been sales, you know, selling stuff out of my house. So I had a little lemonade stand, did the Fresno Bee, worked at a car wash. I mean, I grinded at a car wash for like 2 years. Talk about a hard job, dude, working at a car wash. And I became the manager because my mom was actually helping manage it. And I'm part little owner, and I started becoming a manager. So then you're managing teams and people that are working at a car wash are sometimes the rough people, man. So you're dealing with all sorts of stuff. I mean, we had one dude that like, one day all of a sudden got like popped by the FBI for like $800,000 of cocaine in his trunk. And it's like, oh, he's working at a car wash. Well, no way. This dude was a baller, dude. Let's just put it that way. He was working at the car wash just so he could say he was doing something. The point is the whole thing was this crazy journey when you work in that kind of industry. And so I learned customer service, sales, you know, marketing. I think when I started my business, it was the opportunity. You know, it was like, this is a golden moment. This is a great opportunity. This is just the perfect blend of the industry changing here and me taking on here, you know? And so, like I said, folks, I maybe wouldn't have created exactly this business if I could go back in time and say, okay, exactly this, maybe not. Maybe I'd figure out some software. Maybe I'd figure out some other tools, you know, to make it a little more efficient and sell those tools to customers. But at the end of the day, it's a great business, man. And I provide a lot of help for my team. And I help, you know, I talk to my customers. I had a meeting with one of our agencies that have 30 plus projects with us. So we have like a little powwow where we kind of go rapid fire through all our accounts. But it's crazy. She'll be like, dude, we're just so thankful for you working hard for our customers, because like we wouldn't be able to do all this stuff. You're constantly doing it for us. And so that's a validating thing, I think, as an owner, you know? And so that makes you kind of keep trying to get better, you know? And so I've always used just like the tools out there, Social Media Examiner, Social Media Today. There's no hidden secrets. Just read the shit that's on there, folks. And you're going to be learning just as much as any social media expert, because we're all learning. There's since day one in 2009, as you know, it's always changing.
Always.
You can never stay just in one place.
100%. 100%. Listen, I saw your music on YouTube.
Yes, sir.
And your website says that you're a music producer as well. We even talked about this before we started recording the show. And
absolutely.
As a music producer myself, I have to ask you, do you find that music production and digital marketing have a few things in common? Because I look at it and I'm talking about the need to be process oriented and adopting a growth mindset to making sure that you're getting better every single day. Do you find
some
of the same similarities? Wait, yeah.
At the end of the day, the biggest social media stars are musicians.
Yeah.
So if you can learn social media, folks, you can be a huge star, especially if you're young. And like, if you can learn TikTok right now and dancing on TikTok, folks, like learn, do your music videos and come up with fun little dances with it. You can be a star. Like you can, especially right now, you know, at any age, obviously music is a timeless thing. You can keep people continue to make music, but obviously you have to know. I always say, I told my wife yesterday, the music for the big industry, like to make it huge, 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 most likely you're going to be 16 to 20. You know what I mean? To make it huge, to be Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, the biggest ones. There's going to be some pops in between. Lil Nas X is one. I don't know how old he is, but these kids are 16 to 20. You know what I mean? Then they continue to last on, or they fade out and become a one hit wonder and or whatever. But the music business is tough. So what I tell my wife is, I'm never going to stop making music. Music evolves. Music changes because you can now not have to work with a label. You can sell, self-distribute, right? So yeah. There's TuneCore. There's a lot of DistroKid, I think, is a new one that I came across recently. Yeah. That it allows you to distribute to Spotify, to everywhere, you know? And so I think you're absolutely right. Learning two things about it is this: content, telling your story through that, I think is very vital through social media as an artist. And second, learning the ads, because you can target certain audiences and then advertise your music to those people, you know? And so they're all doing it. If you don't think your favorite label or your favorite artist doesn't have a huge budget to spend on Spotify ads, and on a YouTube ads, they're all running ads. Seriously. And a lot of them are paying for views. A lot of them, to be transparent with you. There's been so many different stories about that, because they're all competing for, I need to be to the trillion views. I need to be this. So they're just buying random fucking bots and just doing views. But so it's not even necessarily the views or the numbers. It's more of like, if people are engaging with your stuff, you can create an audience with on Instagram, for instance, an Instagram audience. And this is all available on like Social Media Examiner. There's a lot of resources where it will show you exactly how to do this. And then you can run ads to them. So, hey, you just engaged with my latest posts on, you know, my latest seven posts on Instagram. Now you're going to see my music ad. Now you're going to see my stories ad, which stories are very effective ads. Now you're going to see my stories ad with a swipe up to my new single. So I just dropped a dime on your audience for the music stars. I just dropped a dime. Anyone that's trying to do music, it's really easy. Get an Instagram engagement audience created. You can find that on the internet. And second is run your latest singles and your latest Spotify releases to your latest people that have engaged with you. Boom. It's guaranteed to work, because then it would just keep spiraling. I mean, it's guaranteed to work. And then if that doesn't work, you could obviously then target certain artists that maybe you sound like. So, De Niro, if you sound like a certain artist, you can say, I want to target their following or people that listen to that kind of music, and run ads to them every day. You know, a dollar a day, folks. You can run ads for $1 per day and see what comes in. You never know. That might just give you a little added boost. You know, I've been shocked when I stopped doing like the gigs performing, and I just did like the streaming and focused on that and just making the music, putting it out there. We made way more money, because I was putting a lot of time, effort, energy into the gigs, you know, and practice and getting the band together. Should I have dancers there and have all these different things, elements of the show? Next thing you know, I'm not making shit. I'm having fun, but I'm not making any money, right? And so streaming gives you money, because you just put it out there, run some ads to some audiences, and see what comes in. And you actually are not having to cut and pay out a manager, pay out an agency, pay out a distributor. It's going right to you, right to your PayPal. They'll send it right to your damn PayPal, folks.
Yeah.
Or your favorite funding source, whatever that would be. Wire it to my bank, baby.
I always like to ask a question about productivity and process. So can you tell us how your average day unfolds? How do you organize your schedule? How do you prioritize your work based on the fact that you have so many things going on, man?
Absolutely, my man. Well, I'll show you guys my list right here.
Awesome. Boom.
Okay, so first at top, I have the things I got to do that day. So my man, I got you right there. I got my babysitter coming at 11:30. Yeah. That's what she's going to take my daughter and watch her. Then I'm going to hop on my treadmill, folks, over here, and I'm going to work for the next 3 hours or so, 4 hours. I have a walking treadmill that I try to stay active. And it was one of my best investments when I became a dad. I knew I wasn't going to – I'd still go to the gym, but you just can't beat the amount of activity you just get on steps alone, like 15,000 steps after maybe 3 hours, you know? And so, and you're just working at the slowest pace on the treadmill too, because I don't want to overdo it. You really want to work. You don't want to, like, get sweaty too, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily a thing where you're just trying to like slowly get a few steps in, go over time. But literally, folks, it's the business. It's the things I got to get done for the business that day. Usually I don't try to typically overwhelm myself, because I'll add stuff in through the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Things might come across my path. So I don't try to overwhelm myself. And then I do have personal, like we're planning my daughter's birthday. So I got my personal stuff. Got to call the location. I got to order some Subways. I got to get some photos on CVS. Just the things I got to do personally, because those things are very important to me. You know, you got to get done your life too. And that's the other blessing of being an entrepreneur, is you blend the both. You blend some personal. There's no work-life balance in a regular job. Like, it's all work. Especially, I've been talking to a lot of engineers. they're doing microdosing, they're doing all sorts of shit to stay awake. They're doing all sorts of stuff to just to stay alive almost over up there in the Silicon Valley area. Yes, you're making a lot of money, but you're committing 60 hours a week is the minimum that those places want you for. So that means you're working on the weekends, you know, or 12-hour days. I mean, 12 five-hour days, folks, with no other personal life, no other anything, that sucks. I mean, I don't care if you're making, unless you're making $1 billion or millions of dollars, like that's, it's not going to be great because.
But only for a certain amount of time. I wouldn't even be able to do it for an extended period of time because then what happens is you got all this money. You're even going to be frustrated because you got money you can't spend. You can't go on vacation.
Exactly. Right. And if you live in that area, shit, you're paying maybe $1 million for a condo.
Yeah.
So there's all your capital. It goes right to your house, you know? And so then you get to come home, sleep, and repeat the cycle. And I don't say, hey, there's a certain period in time. If you're 20 years old, if you're 18 years old and you can code and you can make $1 million plus some stock options or whatever it is, do it. Don't, I mean, I'm 38. So let's just be real. At 38, your time is valuable. Your time is valuable, you know, in life. And so it's still, we're still young. I'm still young. I still feel young. I still feel great. But the point is, when you're 20, make those sacrifices.
Yes.
You got to, especially if you can capitalize on that kind of money. You know what I mean? But if you're 20 sitting on your couch and saying, oh, I'm going to be this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a YouTuber. No, don't be a YouTuber. Make YouTube videos.
Yes.
Like today, don't become a YouTuber. Start making YouTube videos. And folks, don't just talk about it. That's the thing. So I always say to everybody, just do you. Because the more times you do you, the more you can do for others, the more you can help others, the more you can impact. You can give away a shit ton of money, folks, and you can inspire a whole team of people. Look at Salesforce, the 1-1-1 model, where they've given thousands of hours of volunteerism. They've given away their product to nonprofits. They've given away their freaking profits, folks, to nonprofits, and made a huge impact. Because Salesforce is a big company now.
Yeah.
When it first started, it was nothing. But the 1-1-1 is great because if you become big, it really becomes something. And so, hey, anyone has the time. You know what I mean? But make it in action, because like he did with the he's doing the 1-1-1 at the biggest scale. He didn't say, oh shit, we need to compromise because that's too much damn profit we're giving away. Oh shit, we need to too much time on the team. You know, they give away hundreds of thousands of hours of they make up their team, like volunteer at their favorite charities and stuff, and like just say, go do it. Like we're paying you to go volunteer. Yeah. Think about it. Most companies would take that back and say, oh shit, we're not doing it. You know, but he's pushing a whole model for it, actually. In fact, he has a whole kind of pledge behind it. But the point is, folks, is just the more you focus on what you got to get done in the day, the more you can do for others.
Yeah.
No one's going to wipe your butt, go to the gym, get you water. Like we've been drinking or hydrating ourselves. No one's going to force that water down your throat, folks. No one except you, right?
100%. Listen, let's talk about future plans. What are you currently working on, man? Like,
yes.
Is anything interesting that my followers should be aware of?
Absolutely, my man. Well, so our newest thing that has really solidified in addition to our social media business was a software. So remember I told you, folks, the best ideas happen when you're listening. So it's funny that it always happens. All the great things in my life have happened between 10 years. So 17, it was, I changed my body. I went from like being a 300-pound kid to start working out to get to where I now am 258 pounds, 6'8", right? So I'm pretty lean, muscular. I'm not 400 pounds, 6 foot tall. You know what I mean? So I changed my like trajectory at 17. 27, 10 years later, was I went through a divorce, a recession, and I also started a business. Boom, had my finances blow up on me. Put $60,000 or so into a house, lost it, boom. But it became a success over time. Over time, I grinded my way out of it. I got back to where I am now, 10 years later, 37 years old, had a baby, learning how to sleep, pop entrepreneur, sitting down with my customer one day, Jim, at one of my favorite social media customers, because he lets me do viral funny memes on his Facebook. And that's all we do on his Facebook. Like his team does other stuff, but then we just do find viral funny memes because that shit works, folks. Like at first he just let me do one a week and now we do 5 a week, you know, and that shit works. Like we're getting like 50 to 100 shares. Sometimes we got one that had like almost 800 shares. Yeah. on a local business page.
Yeah.
He's getting like 60,000 organic reach on a local business page. Yeah. Go look at Hertz Rent a Car. Go look at Dollar Rent a Car. Look at some of the top pages out there that are like big businesses, and they're getting like 2 likes on their posts. Like, not because they're just trying to do these pretty posts that don't have any kind of shareability to them, you know? So the point is, I'm sitting down with Jim. He loves me. He's like, you know, I love you. You're doing a great job on social. Your team's awesome. But I really need help with my reputation, and I really need it to be done in a software. I don't want to be doing this shit manually. I want to make it automated and so that it works for me to get positive reviews and fill out the negatives. And then he's like, I want it to be able to, so I can market it on my website, you know? And so we just did our research and we found a partner, you know, because we aren't going to build a software. So we just found a partner that we could, you know, work with, and they take on our brand. And they'd say, okay, we'll work with you, you know, pay us a fee to use our license of our brand, and no worries, we'll use that. And we've created what's called real-time reputation. It's realtimereputation.us. The .com is way too damn expensive, folks. It's like $5,000. They're trying to charge us for that. I'm like, okay, we'll be good on that. So anyways, the point is that I just started talking to my customers about it, you know, and just like saying, hey, you know what? We have this awesome software. We'd love it for you to use it. What we do, my man, is we give them a free trial. And so actually anyone on your show, if you go to the website, you could fill out a form.
There's no
credit cards. There's no, because what the whole goal is that we, in the next, you know, 15 to 30 days of you using the software, is that you actually capture positive reviews. And so it really works well. If you have an email list, folks, it really works awesome, because you upload the email list and then every day, maybe anywhere between, I would say, 5 and 20 emails go out. Because the tip, folks, is if you game reputation, they will screw you. Google, Facebook, all the platforms know when you get a bunch of reviews at once that you're doing some sort of promotion, some sort of game, some sort of gimmick. Now, there's a lot of different rules on that. But what the software does is just sends it out slowly. So if you had you know, 200 contacts, it would send out over 40 days, 5 a day. You know what I mean? So, that's what they want, brother. That's what they want. They want folks for you to collect them slowly, because that looks more realistic. Someone came in, they reviewed you. It doesn't look like, oh, one day I get 50 reviews because I did a promotion or my team. They'll do weird stuff. Yeah. Yelp will just hide them all. But a lot of the other platforms they'll sniff that out, and they could even report you. And I've had a few situations where they reached out and said, you know, this is going to be causing you, we're going to have to remove all these because it doesn't look right. You know what I mean? That you just got 50 in one day when you had none for the last 7 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah, for sure.
So, and they could try to, you could try to game them back, but the truth is, folks, and I didn't realize this, is that any review on Facebook, Google, or any of your favorite review platforms is not your review. It's called a third-party review. It's not yours. So what the software does first is it captures a first-party review, which is your review. It's your to market, because you can market your reviews. And then those people can take that same review and put it on the third-party platform, Facebook, Google, Yelp. And that's also there. It's social proof that, hey, we're also here too. It's what the software does first. And I was educated in this whole thing, because as you're getting into it, you're like, okay, am I going to get into this business? Okay, I need to educate myself. And the first is, hey, if you can market that, you can use that on your TV commercials, on any other content. You can make social media visuals from that, because it's your first party review. So that was the business, folks, is just listen to my customer. He said, I'll become your first customer. What do you think I did? I got my next check. I billed his invoice for the software, right? And that started the ball. That started the ball. You know, now we got about 42, I think, or so customers. Not a ton, because it's still a small, you know, monthly fee. It's not a ton of money. It's anywhere between $70 and $100 per month that they're paying. Yeah. But it still works. That's the thing I love about it. I was just had an email with one of my favorite clients too, an eye doctor, and she was just like saying, oh, you know, we've captured like 584 reviews or something. She was just all excited about it, that we've been using it with her. Because she has, I think they have like 100 and so people coming into the doctor's office every week. So she just captures them, sends them over in a CSV file, and then boom, it's each day, you know, she's capturing a few more reviews, you know? So it can work really for every category, but I'm really excited about that business, my man, because it's automated, folks. I'll just be real with you. It's automated. It's easy on you. It's easy on me. When the review comes in, if you want to respond, you can. That's the only manual part to it. But other than that, it's just an automated process, you know, because you need those things. As you know, you said you got to set certain things up in life that automate.
Yeah. And like at the end of the day, like my agency actually focuses on Google Ads because I've mastered how to automate the whole system. And
nice.
I do have teams that go in and do take care of it. But, you know, it's not like constant content creation or anything along those lines. So I used to do content creation as well. And like when I used to have my clients, I'd be like, oh, damn, I forgot to post the Instagram post. And it's like 11:30 at night in bed already. And I'm like, picking up the phone. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I hate my life. I can't tell you how many times I've done that shit.
I know.
I can't tell you how many times, brother. That you're absolutely right, man. I mean, the ad side of the business is a brilliant side because the budgets run, everything gets effective, but you don't have to be doing all that grind. You know, same reason why I like the software, because the reviews come in and I don't got to do shit. You know, and I give you the keys to the castle. I give you sign up for the trial. I give you the keys. We get you set up where it has a little widget on your website. So like any current reviews that you have are positive, it will start showing those, you know? So someone comes to your website, all of a sudden it pops up, you start seeing positive review. You know, maybe it helps the sales process for some businesses, you know, build that trust, you know, especially if you're going to spend $5,000 on iServices or something like that. And it's all cash. You can't get insurance. You know, you're going to want to make sure that this guy has done legit work before, you know, before you just start dropping G's. So I think, you know, having these things kind of market to us are good when you're on your website. But yeah, man, it's been a fun journey, brother. It really has. And I love what you're doing for people. You know, I want to say, because like we talked about through this whole thing, is that at 17, 27 and 37, I've had to up my life. I've had to up my game. I've had to look myself in the mirror now and say, I'm a dad. I don't have time to go golfing with my buddies. I can't run to Vegas with my wife and pop off there for a couple nights and go to Calvin Harris and all my favorite DJs and gamble and do all that. Certain things in life, you just change. And that doesn't mean it's bad. That does not mean it's negative. It's only negative if you put that in your head. You got to up your game. You got to say, this is now who I am. I'm now a dad. Embrace it. Soak it in. For 353 days, I've been a dad every damn day. I got content. I got videos to look back on. Shit, I was crying last night because my daughter's coming up on 1 year. And it's an emotional moment, dude, to see your daughter grow. When you look back all the photos, you're like, holy shit. Like, it's insane. 1 year of life, but they develop a lot. And there's a whole different person, you know? So, and now, like I said, I always tell, at 47, I'm ready for my next challenge. You know, I hope it's not finances. I know it's not going to be finances as long as I don't spend more than I make. I got some money in the bank. I got the investments going, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm ready for that next challenge. 47, I'm sure every 10 years in my life, if something has come up crazily enough to really make something where I had to say up my game. I had to get out of the finance shit when it happened, when I bought a house at 27. At 37, I had to change my mind about being a dad and saying, okay, you're going to make a lot of sacrifices. Like, you're not going to be able to do those things, but look at this life that you get to impact, you know? And it just gives you a whole nother level of like perspective, you know? And we, from when we started this whole show, my man, gratitude.
Yeah.
We talked about Kobe. He lost his daughter with him.
Yeah.
The girl that was his, he didn't have a boy, his shining light. He invested all his time and energy and effort and money. And in one moment, something can happen. So just realize time's your most precious asset. Spend time with the people you love, spend time doing the things you love. If you're in somewhere where you're in a tough place, know you look yourself in the mirror and you can up your game. You can do you and up it.
Yeah, 100%, man. Thank you so much for that message. Really,
yeah,
really,
brother.
Really head on for sure. Listen, thank you so much for being on the show as well. And I know my listeners want to check your content and check everything about what you do. So where can people find you online?
Absolutely. You look me up, Travis Tutallin Huff or Travis Huff, anywhere on LinkedIn, Tutallin on Instagram. I got the B Real Show. If you guys are interested, I do have a feisty little show. We interview entrepreneurs, and actually had some similar guests. I was like, man, my man's doing it. I love it. I love what you're doing. I do have an offer too, as well. If you guys are interested in the social media stuff, we do have an audit that we do. It's an audit where basically it looks using actually a software tool we have. Anything that's been mentioned about you for the last 30 days. So anyone that's mentioned your show, for instance, I like to put you in there and say, anyone that's mentioning my man's name, his Instagram, or his Up Your Game show, then we're going to start to see who these people are. It's going to see your influence. And also the best thing about the software, in my opinion, is it shows what other topics these people are talking about. What are the things that these people are talking about? And it's very cool. It's by Nuvi as a software. It's intelligent, it's expensive, software, but we use it for all our customers. And I'm trying to give it back because I haven't been utilizing it as much as we should. And so I'm like, dude, we've actually been giving back to the guests. I think I'd love to give it to you, my man, because I already know that you have a good insight on your business, but it might be interesting to see what comes up, And so, and it's completely no cost. So you guys go there. It's the realtimeoutsource.com/BeReal. Realtimeoutsource.com/BeReal. And yeah, man, anything I could do for you, brother. I love your energy. I love your smile. You got a good smile, man. You got a good energy. And I see you at 10,000 episodes. Nothing's stopping you. Anything you want in life, you can make happen. I think your business on the agency side will continue to grow too, because Google Ads works, folks. That shit works. That shit gets leads for you. So don't forget it. And my man, and also all the stuff you're doing with coaching and clients and helping people in that light too, because I think that's another huge business. People need that inspiration. They need that coach in the corner that's going to tell them to up your game. Do you focus on your freaking negatives sometimes? Turn those into positives. You are in control. Yeah. You're in control of the money you have. You are in control of the time you have. Don't ever forget it.
Travis, thank you so much for this interview today. I'm super excited. Have you back sometime soon in 2020, maybe in a few months as well. I'd love to have you back, and we'll talk about how your new business is going to go.
Yes.
And we'll reconnect soon. All right, man. Have a good one, and we'll chat soon.
God bless you, brother. Let's do it.
God bless you.
And this is it for today, Game Changers. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to the podcast and you will be the very first person to know when we release new episodes. Also, do not forget to leave a review. It literally takes a minute. It makes my day brighter. And if you send me a screenshot for a limited time on Instagram or by email, you will get a free 15-minute coaching call worth $50. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.